Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I believe the Lord is good. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. And all the time, I trust that we have been having a blessed time in the presence of the Lord and the presence of the people of God since morning. I thank God once again for the privilege to be with you. I thank our regional chairman for the effort he put into the arrangements to ensure that that's my co-worker and I, that's Olayinka, are able to make it. And once again, sir, I want to thank you very much. Yes. The Lord is good. I am going to continue from where I stopped this morning and just open your Bibles, you have it, to the book of 2 Peter. I was asked to do an exposition of the book, on that book, 2 Peter, second epistle of St. Peter. And I thought to myself, am I going to take it line by line, or how do I do it? So I read through the whole book, got a general grasp of what Peter was saying. And I picked out four topics from inside there, which I am going to expose in this series. And I did one in the morning. And before we start this evening, can we just bow our heads? Let me just say a word of prayer again. Father, we thank you for the gathering of your people. We thank you because you have prepared this time to bless your children. Thank you, Lord, because your Holy Spirit is already present here and your word is flowing forth. Again, I say, Lord, let everyone present have understanding the things that we are going to expose. And let me speaking declare only that which is your word in the name of Jesus Christ. And let your name alone be glorified in Jesus' name. All right, the Lord is good. Remember, I gave a few, I made some requests in the morning for those who are not here. Let me just go over that again. One, if I ask you, if I say amen, it's a question I'm asking. There are two sides to it. One, I hope you're understanding me. That's the first one. And second one is, I hope you agree with me. Like I said, the second one, just say amen anyway, since I'm the one preaching. All right, the Lord is good. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Second one, if I say praise the Lord, or the Lord is good, answer me very warmly. So I know that you are present with me and you have not gone home yet. All right. I said there are four things I'm going to speak about. In the morning, I spoke on one of them, which is what I called the fulfillment of God's promises, in which I explained that the promises of God, implicit in them, tied inside them, even though God does not always express it clearly, but we know by studying the word of God that they always have conditions. And that even if God was to pronounce judgment, even when he pronounces judgment like that, there are still conditions attached to the judgment being released. Okay, can I continue now? All right, so I was saying that in the morning I was explaining the issue. Okay, we talked about the fulfillment of God's promises. And I remember that I explained that the word of God, the promises of God, have conditions that their fulfillment is predicated upon. We give a few examples that God said to the house of Eli. He said that's in 1 Samuel chapter 2, we read from verse 30, in which he said that even though I promised your house that you will be priests before me and your descendants forever, he said, now far be it from me, which means that even though God had promised, he said, now I've changed my mind. And what's the reason why I changed my mind? Is because the person that honors me is the one I will honor, which means, therefore, the fulfillment of God's promise of priesthood over the life of over the house of Eli was predicated upon Eli and his descendants honoring God. And we also read from the book of Genesis that when God came down to judge Sodom and Gomorrah in verse 19, we read that he said that the reason why he has chosen Abraham. God said concerning Abraham in Genesis chapter 18 that the reason why he chose Abraham is so that Abraham would teach his descendants and his children after him the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice. And that way God will be able to bring upon Abraham the thing that he has promised. What that tells us is that if the descendants of Abraham, they do not learn righteousness and justice, the thing that God promised, even though the promise is there and is real, it will not come to pass in their lives. So I said, even though Peter was writing to us and he said that we have promises, all right, his divine power has given us all things that have to do with life and godliness, so that we have given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these we may be partakers of the divine nature. And that divine nature has two sides to it. One side is that our inner hearts will be changed, and secondly is that there was a manifestation outside. For example, when Jesus needed something, he just told Peter, go to the river and go and fish, and you will catch enough money to satisfy to meet our immediate needs. That's part of divine nature. When Jesus rose up and the sea became calm, that's part of divine nature. He said to experience all of these things, God gave us promises. And we said those promises, therefore, they have some things inside them. That is, they will not be fulfilled except we do some things. And those things were listed by Peter. He said, for this reason, we have to add to our faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. And these are the things that must be fulfilled so that there will be an entrance into the kingdom of God supplied to us. In fact, Paul also said the same thing in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. He says, since we have all these promises, let us purify ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, and perfect holiness in the fear of the Lord. So we said in the morning, the last thing we said was that so as to experience these blessings of God and the manifestation of his promises, we need to follow God fully. And we gave examples of the life of Caleb, that Caleb received God's promises because he followed the Lord, his God, fully. And we can read that from Numbers chapter 32, in verses 11 and 12, and around the verse 6 of the book of Joshua chapter 14. Now, what do we mean when we say you follow the Lord fully? It means the word of God has different aspects. It has promises. Most Christians these days, and it's this year, 2012 in Nigeria, it's very common. Most Christians follow God only by the promises. They say, God has promised me this. He has promised me long life. He has promised me prosperity. He has promised me deliverance from my enemies. And they want to follow that. So they pray all night for the fulfillment of that. But that's not all there is to God's word. That's just one part. Those are the promises of God. We said the word of God also has precepts. What are precepts? Precepts are the principles by which God operates. That is, we just know some things are right and some things are wrong, even if God does not give express commandments about them. We know the method by which he does things. For example, we tell you God loves a cheerful giver. Even if he doesn't give you a commandment concerning giving to the work of God or giving to your neighbor, we know implicitly that God loves a cheerful giver. It is just something that we have learned. It's a principle. The principle of God is that it is more blessed to give than to receive. That is also a principle of God. Now, so all these are the things we call precepts. And we say there are commandments. What are commandments? There are things that are expressly commanded. Things that God just said, you shall do this, you shall not do that. All right? And so when they say go into all the world and preach the gospel, that's an express commandment. And we said there are testimonies. What are testimonies? They are personalized commandments. Things that everybody may be able to do, but in your own situation, it is not allowed. And then we also add what you call ordinances. Ordinances being the things that God says, things like do not neglect the gathering together of the brethren. I talk about sharing communion, the communion of the Lord's table. These are the things we call ordinances. Now, we put all of those things together. If we obey all these parts of the word of God, then we say we are following God fully. We cannot just say we know the promises of God. Somebody says something bad, they say, I reject it. Yes, you have the power to reject it. But don't forget why you are rejecting it. Make sure that your life is not open to the attacks of the enemy by the way you are running your life and your business. So we discuss those things in the morning. That's just a summary of everything we said. So I said, next thing I'm going to talk about, I said in the morning that I'll talk about the power of grace, the word becoming flesh. And there's a reason why I need to explain that. Because there's something I said in the morning, which is the fact that I said that in this dispensation, the problem we have is with the wrong doctrine. That under the old covenant, the people had a problem with false prophets. And Peter said that in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. He said, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you. That is, the problem we have now is false teachers, not prophets. All right? The main problem is not with prophets, it's with teachers. And teachers, they enunciate the doctrines of God. They teach us the word of God. So the problems we have in today's Christianity has to do with false teachers. And what I want to emphasize on this evening, all right, I'm going to speak about the word becoming flesh, and I will now explain why it is important that you guard your heart with all diligence. Quickly, let me just read one portion of the scriptures so that it will help us. If you have your Bibles, quickly open to the book of Proverbs chapter 4. I want to read something out there. The book of Proverbs chapter 4. It said from verse 20, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart." He said, "For they are life to those who find them," that's verse 22, "and health to all their flesh." Please notice verse 23 is where I really want to read. We put a lot of emphasis in it. He said, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Let me read that again. I like the way it says in the New American Standard and the King James. He said, "Guard your heart with all diligence." Well, you know what it means to guard something? If you buy a car and you like the car so much, at night you park it, you lock it very well, you put alarm in it, you put tracker, you guard the car with all diligence because it's a sign of how much money you have spent. So he said, guard your heart with all diligence. In fact, one Bible, I think the Amplified says, "Guard your heart above all that is guarded." That is, if you have money, you guard it very carefully. He said, "Guard your heart with more attention." He said, "Guard your heart above all that is guarded." You know what it means to guard something? You have something that is precious to you. You have your certificate. You guard it very well. You don't keep it recklessly. You have money. You guard it very well. You don't keep it recklessly. You build a very nice house. You fence it very well. You put barbed wires on the walls because you want it to be well kept and it's safe. And the Bible says, guard your heart more above all that is guarded, all right? Because from it flow springs, all right, the issues of life. That is, the things that will affect your life, the things you find outwardly, they come out of the things that are inside your heart. Please, I want us to follow that carefully because we are studying 2 Peter. And Peter said clearly to us that there are false prophets. There were false prophets then, but now he said the problem is with false teachers. And that's the main thrust in what is in chapter 2 of that 2 Peter. And what I want to say, like I said earlier, is to explain to us how to guard ourselves from false teachers. How we can do it so that we are not deceived. Please, try and follow me very carefully, all right? Because I'm going to say many things, I try and tie them together. The first thing I want to say, all right, is that thing about the power of grace. Now listen to this. This is how Christianity is. And in fact, the whole of life is like this. And that's why I read from that Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. You see, what is inside your heart, all right, eventually comes outwardly and it affects the things around you. This is how life is. It's a spiritual matter. Listen. You know, Jesus, concerning Jesus, was spoken first in John chapter 1. He said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us." Now, there's something about that. That was speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ specifically. And the Bible makes it clear to us that the totality of the Word of God, all right, congealed at a time and manifested as one individual. And that person is Jesus Christ. But there is a principle there which goes beyond the life of Jesus alone. What he was saying in effect is this. Anything that first exists in the realm of the Spirit, spoken as words, what happens that eventually they manifest outwardly in the lives of the people? Please follow me. Life is not lived by, you know, let me put it like this. They say, if this man had known, now, okay, you've heard that before. Maybe a man traveled, he had an accident, and he died. And they say, if he had known, he would not have traveled that day. Have you heard that thing before? So people now say that, oh, you have to be careful when you travel. But you see, life is not like that. This is the way life is. He had an appointment with death, so he had to meet it. He couldn't refuse to travel. We think that at that point you say, I am not traveling. No, it was ordained for him to die that day, therefore he traveled. The traveling, the accidents, all right, were a manifestation of the spiritual appointment with death. Please, I hope you're following my point. So this is how we make our mistakes. We now start checking. Check the day that you travel. People tend to die on the 13th of the month. Don't travel on that day. If you are supposed to die, the death will come to your house. Do you get the principle? Yes. People think that it's just that last minute. That last minute you make up your mind. No. What controls the events on this earth, there are things that are already inside the hearts of people. That is, he said, the word becomes flesh. I'm trying to explain that principle. There was a man, this example is in my mind, and I just need to explain it. Use it to explain. One day, man came, a big man of God, I won't tell you in which country, and he said that he and his wife, they have divorced themselves. You know, his wife is going to the left, he's going to the right. And he said it simply. And people say, what happened? I said to people, come, listen. Long ago, a friend of mine attended that church. That's like maybe like 15 to close to 20 years before this matter happened. And the man preached to them in their ministers' meetings that there is nothing wrong with you divorcing your wife. Are you getting my point? So years later, he divorced his wife. People say, couldn't they have settled? I said, no, it's not about settlement. It is the word becoming flesh. That is, when you imbibe something that is not true, it will affect your life outside. So the Lord said, guard your heart above all that is guarded. Because out of it comes for the experiences of life. Please follow what I'm saying. That is, what a man will become tomorrow, what a young woman will become in the future, is determined by what you are planting inside his or her heart today. So the problem in the body of Christ is what the teachers of the word are planted inside your heart. That is why it is important you make sure that you are not deceived. Because what you pay attention to, in fact, there's one scripture I wanted to quote, just escaped me now, but the Lord Jesus was speaking. He said, be careful how you listen. He said, be careful how you listen. I like the way Amplified says it. Amplified said that the amount of thought and study you give to the words you hear determines the amount of power that will be released to you. That is, what enters your heart creates, this is how I like to explain it, a magnetic force around you, and that determines what comes towards you and what is repelled away from your life. It's a spiritual principle. The word becomes flesh. This is one thing I like to say to parents all the time, because God taught me this long ago and I practice it till today. The oldest, I have four children. The oldest of them is just 9 years old. The youngest being about 4 or 5. I'm not very sure of his age now. I don't have time to think about it, all right? It's about 4 or 5. All right? They are still very, very young. Okay? Now, what they will become, this is one mistake parents make. If you see a child that appears very smart in school, he's very attentive, he's very, very focused, and he does very well. You look at it and say, this child will do well in life. And you have one that's very rascally. It's a little boy, he's just 5 years old, all right? And he's very, very unattentive. And you, because of that, the teacher is tired of him, because you see, there's what the Bible calls a hireling and a true shepherd. And every teacher, 99% of teachers in schools are hirelings. They are not true. Only parents really can be true shepherds. Do you understand? That's why you have to pay attention to what they are teaching your children. You understand? Because they are hirelings. If you have 20 children in one class, if one is really disturbing, all right? It's only Jesus Christ that will abandon the 19 and go after the one. You understand what I'm saying? And every teacher will abandon the one and look after the 19. That's just the principle. So that child being the one that is disturbing the class is not getting the attention of the teacher. Therefore, he does not do well. And he comes back home, and the mother says, I don't know what is wrong with you. And the father says, this boy, you won't do well. And they keep on saying it. What they do not realize is that they are putting something in the heart of the child. They are putting something in the environment of that child. And one day, the thing will become flesh. And then when the failure has come upon that child, you know what they often say? We said so. They do not realize that it is not as if they were correct when they said it, but that their words have been confirmed because they spoke them. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, the way they interpret it is that, we always knew. No, you did not always know. You prophesied it, and the words you spoke became confirmed. Now, for those of us who are adults, the Lord said to us clearly, guard your heart with all diligence. One day, one of my students came to my office. I wanted him to sign a paper for him or write something up for them. Now, I was trying to think about what I would write. Then he did something that annoyed me. You know, I'm very sensitive when it comes to the affairs of Nigeria. You understand my point? I'm very, very sensitive. I am very sensitive, all right? I am very sensitive. Along the line, he said to me, he said that, you know, that Nigeria cannot... He was just talking to a young man. I was a lecturer. He was my student. He had left my class. And he just came to see me. So I'm not his mate, really. But, you know, in the course of Jesus, also an adult, we're just talking. He now said that Nigeria cannot afford uninterrupted power supply. I said, why not? He said, because minimum wage is, how much is it? 18,000 naira, something like that. And he explained to me how much it will cost. By the time he finished, I turned to get up and get out of my office. I said, you are very intelligent. You should know the difference between minimum and maximum. If they say minimum wage is 18,000, you should tell you that at least maximum can be 18 million. Nobody has set a maximum. I said to him that these are the things they said to us then, that we couldn't afford phones. Now we have phone in every corner. You understand? You go to the house, your Megad has phone, you have phone. In fact, sorry, you have three. Your first son has. In fact, I bought a phone for my son when he was 7 years old. I stopped recharging it for him because the network was always stealing his credit. You understand? They said, text this one, you will win this. The little boy does not know. He will text it, and he wins nothing. You now come and tell me I don't have credit. So I stopped buying recharge. Now, the point I'm making is I said to the young man, this was what they said to us then, but it did not happen like that because minimum wage is different from maximum wage. Now, I'm bringing an issue here. Once, when the guy spoke, the young man spoke, I drove him out of my office. Because if enough of us believe that we cannot have uninterrupted power supply, we will never have it. Because out of the heart flows forth the issues of power supply. Do you understand what I'm saying? If we keep on saying it will never happen, if enough of us, the critical mass, especially the prophets of God, if we believe those things, it will never happen. I told him, get up and get out of my office. If his father was working in Nepal, I almost abused his father that day. That you see, is your father has ruined the country and his children want to continue ruining it. You know, I was very, very angry. Now, the reason is this. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence. Guard your heart more than other things that are guarded. Be careful what negative things they say to you. Be careful how people plant evil in your heart. For example, I mean, I was a young man too those days. I'm still young. I'm not old yet. But you know what I'm saying? I was much younger at the time. And the people used to say that Nigeria is bad. Nothing good can ever come out of this country. And I used to fight everybody that said it. I said, in this country, I will prosper. I said, the word of God says in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 12, it said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. He said, it will flow towards you. He didn't say, I will go running after it. I said, listen to me. Anywhere I am in life, God will bless me and I will prosper there. And I fought everybody. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence. Now, please, I'm trying to explain a principle here. Don't let anybody lie to you. Paul said that be careful that people do not rob you of your reward. All right? Let me summarize. By teaching you wrong doctrines, by making you believe things that are not true, by making you believe things that are not accurate. Because if your thoughts are different from the word of God, your life will never have order. That's a matter of fact. If God says A, B, C, you decide it is X, Y, Z, your life will never have order. So he said, guard your heart with all what? Diligence. Please, I'm going somewhere. This is what grace is. Grace is the power of God that is manifested towards those who believe. If you go and study Ephesians chapter 1, Paul was teaching us to pray. He said people should pray that God will give them understanding, that they will understand the power of God that works towards those who believe. He said, when he was speaking about the thorn in the flesh, he said, I besought the Lord 3 times concerning it, but God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, and this is my grace. My grace is that my power that is made perfect in your weakness. Are you getting my point? Paul said it like this again, Romans chapter 4. He said, he had to be by faith that it might be in accordance with grace. What is grace? We define grace a lot as unmerited favor. And it is true in that we do not merit it by our own strength. But the emphasis of God when he's talking about grace is about the manifestation of his power. What do I mean by this? This is what faith is. If we hold on to the word of God and the power of God produces something in our lives,
then we have gotten that thing by the grace of God. Are you getting my point? That is, if God says something to you and you hold on to it. For example, I used to say those days that, listen, the Bible says houses and riches are from the fathers, but the prudent wife is from the Lord. And he said in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, he said, I have found more dangerous than death. He described a kind of woman whose hearts are chains and hands are snares. He said, one who is pleasing to God will escape from her, but the sinner will be enticed. I told every young man and every young woman I knew, any time I had to discuss that with people, I said, that is what I believe, that God will find me a good wife by himself. Are you getting my point? And people say, how will you know? I said, don't worry. The day I finally marry, I will know the person is good. Listen, that how, whether it's a dream or vision or arrangement, I don't care. But one day I will look back and know that the wife is good. Now, please, I'm bringing an issue here. So what happened to me? Eventually, God arranged and gave me a good wife. How we did it is a very funny story. You know, I was supposed to go and preach somewhere. No, I wasn't supposed to preach. I was supposed to be in a convention. The preacher did not come on time, so they said I should preach. When I finished preaching, one sister said, please, oh, can I ask you a question? At the end of the day, 18 months later, we were married. Are you see what I'm saying? Now, it was not 15 principles on how to find a wife. No. The issue was, the word became what? Flesh. And dwelt in my house. That's what I'm saying. The word became what? Flesh. Listen, what will determine or what is determining what your life will be is not your effort, it's what you believe. Do you get my point? It is not your effort, it is what you believe. These are spiritual principles. Spiritual things control the things that are in the realm of the physical. There are those who labor and labor and labor, but deep inside their hearts, they believe that, listen, people like me don't make it. Deep inside their hearts, they say, you know, my father was not educated. Deep inside their hearts, they say, you know, I'm not from the correct country or state or local government area. Deep inside, they are laboring outside though. But deep inside, they are generating a spiritual current that's making sure things don't work for them. Please, I hope you are coming what I'm saying. That is why Peter warned, I believe one of the reasons, that we must be wary, all right, of false teachers. Because in today's Christianity, if, listen, you know, I don't know whether I said it openly earlier, or I said it when I was talking with our chairman, that in Nigeria of today, listen, the major problem we have is not who is president, or who is senate president, or who is local government chairman. The main problem we have is not whether there's Boko Haram or there's no Boko Haram. The main problem in the body of Christ is the kind of things that Christians are paying attention to and what they are believing. Now, very important. Let me give an example. No matter how much you preach righteousness, no matter how much you try to tell people to live holy, if in their hearts they believe that money is more important than anything else, preach from now till tomorrow, they will be corrupt people, even though they are Christians. Listen, if they look at at earthly things as the reward for righteousness, no matter how much you try to make them behave otherwise, are you getting my point? No matter how much you try, the force of corruption will come into their system. Why? Because they believe something that is not true. Because Jesus said, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Anything you say contrary to that exposes the people to corruption. Listen, you can't persuade him that, you know, you're a Christian, you should not steal. It is not like he wants to steal. It is that the force of stealing has entered into him because he believes the wrong doctrine. That's why accurate doctrine is very important. And like I said earlier, okay, I think I was talking with the chairman when I said it. And for every, spiritually speaking now, every naira that the Christian steals, the unbeliever is authorized to steal 10 without judgment. Because judgment begins in the house of God. I tell people all the time, they say, our politicians are wicked. I said, no, they are not. They are natural outgrowths of the iniquity inside the church. Because darkness or evil only thrives where there's darkness. And if the light that inside the nation has become dark, how great is that darkness? That is, corrupt politicians will thrive as long as corrupt pastors are thriving. It's a spiritual principle. So, if the body of Christ is going to be redeemed, it is by the realignment of accurate doctrines. It is not by joining can and shouting, we no go agree, we no go agree. Whether you agree or not, these things are spiritual. Please, I'm just explaining the principles now. So listen, what your life will be is a result of what is inside, what is entering into it. That's what I'm trying to explain, a lot of these things I'm saying. But the main thing I want to actually sit on, all right, is the issue of how do I distinguish between good doctrine and bad doctrine? How do I refuse to hear one? Because he said, guard your heart with all diligence. There is a problem with when a man guards himself too much. In fact, something happened to me a few days ago. It was very funny. I even showed it to Olahinka, the text, the email. A very dear brother of mine, all right, and of our ministry, a good friend, he sent me an email that, please, I should quickly lend him some money. That he's abroad, that his money just finished. He needs to quickly get some money so that then he gets some things done. If you have gotten such mails before, what is the first thing that comes to your mind? 419. So I showed it to my wife, and we laughed and said, 419, 419, 419. But something in me just said, just verify. He put a phone number there. It was, at that time, to be 1 a.m. where he is, it was 7 a.m. in Nigeria. So I picked the phone and called the number. To my surprise, he answered. I said, are you sure you're the one I'm talking to? He laughed. I recognized the voice. Did he send me a mail? He said, yes, sir. I said, you're sure? I asked some coded questions, like, my wife calls him a special name. I said, what name does my wife call you? He told me, I knew it was morning. I wanted to tell him, look, wake your wife up. Give her the phone. Let me hear her voice. I told him, I said, obviously, you have never gotten this 419 mail before. That's why you send mails like this. Otherwise, you should have called me. You know, I was just thinking all of these thoughts. But this one I'm going to make, to my surprise, it was not 419. So you see, if you think you can be so smart in life, you can be so smart, you shut off the important doors that God is opening. So if you say that, I must be careful, I don't hear any wrong doctrine. If you want to use it, but I won't listen to anything. Then at the end of the day, you know what happens? You don't even hear the good doctrines. So the question therefore is, how do I know the difference? Because if you don't know, you don't know. If you are supposed to learn, unless you have all knowledge, you are deceivable. Yes, only God dwells in the light, and with him there's no darkness and there's no deception. Any human being can be deceived. I thought about it. I said, okay. In fact, this is one, I wrote a book in 2 weeks. It's titled, Great Faith Can Be Yours. You know why I wrote that book? Because I'd been thinking of something for a long time. I said, the widow of Zarephath, listen to this. A man shows up at your door, you're hungry. You don't have anything. The only food you have left, he shows up at your door and says, I'm a prophet, give me that food, you won't go hungry again. If you believe him, you're not a Nigerian. The natural instinct is tell the man, go away from here before I call police. Because even the same Bible that tells us the story told us other stories of prophets that rob widows' houses. So, why should this woman believe Elijah? You know, for a long time, I thought and thought about it. The day God gave me understanding, I wrote it into a book. Now, what I want to bring out from here is this, all right? Oh, just for those who are wondering, how did she believe Elijah? Look, the summary of it is that it did not matter whether she believed Elijah or not. She was a kind woman and will always give to a hungry person. That's the summary. So if Elijah was lying about whether the food no go finish, as long as Elijah is not lying about the fact that he is hungry, no problem, eat it and go. So that's half of it. There's a second reason what the Bible calls the spirit of faith, all right? But I can't discuss that now. What I'm just going to bring out is the fact that I realized suddenly that it was not the fact that this woman knew the principles of judging prophecies. She couldn't know it. She didn't even test the man. She just went and did as he said. That tells you something. The knowledge of the principles of judging prophecies is inferior to the fact that you have the right heart that can even judge prophecies. Are you getting my point? Okay, let me explain it again. Okay, let me put it like this to make it easy to understand. The woman had a godly heart. She had a kind heart. She had a heart that would have helped somebody in need. Looking at many scriptures, you know that she had helped other people before when she had plenty. Because the Bible says that the one who closes his or her ears to the cries of the poor will also cry and God will not listen. So for her to cry and God listened, because the Bible says to us clearly that Elijah was sent to her. He said there were many widows in Israel. To none of them was Elijah sent apart from that particular one in Zarephath. Which means that Elijah was not looking for just any widow that would give him something. He was sent to one particular widow. She had a kind of heart. You understand what I'm saying? That kind of heart is more important than knowing the 10 steps of how to judge prophecy, whether it is true or false. You know what it means? If you have the right heart, if you don't know how to judge prophecies, God will defend you. That's what I'm trying to explain. And the same principle, right, applies to this matter of teaching. Is somebody giving me the right doctrine or the false doctrine? Do you know the truth? Let's read one scripture. You see what I'm trying to say. Quickly open your Bibles to... This one is interesting. The way I'm going to apply it, you wonder how I got there, but just listen to it. John chapter 12. The book of John chapter 12. I want to read just one... I like to read in context. So I'll start from 27, but just one verse I want to read. It said, now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Verse 27, John chapter 12. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. And I can't say that. Why? For this purpose I came to this hour, he was saying. And I said, Father, glorify your name. Verse 28. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Now, please notice verse 29. This is actually where I'm coming to. Therefore, the people who stood by and heard it said, and those who stood by and heard it, they said it had thundered. Some people heard what? The sound of thunder. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. But we know one thing for sure. The people who recorded this heard the voice clearly. I don't know whether you get my point. John heard it clearly. Father, glorify thy son. Then, for him to be able to record it, he heard it when it was said, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. And in verse 30, Jesus answered and said, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. That is, he knew some people heard it clearly. Now, the question is this. The same voice sounded. Some heard cloud. They heard thunder. Some heard the murmuring of an angel. And some heard it clearly. Was it not the same voice? So the difference is not in the voice. It's in the ears that are hearing. That's why the Bible will tell you, let him that has an ear, let him hear. It is possible to have ears and not hear. And now listen to this. It is possible to have ears and hear what you want to hear. Listen to me. Listen, if you're a Christian, you are deceived only if you set yourself up for deception. Let me say it again. God is kind. He's very, very kind. The way he has structured it, you are deceived only if you set yourself up for deception. That's the basic thing about it. One voice sounded. Some heard nothing. They just heard brum, 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 brum. They say it's thunder. Some heard something. They say it sounds like an angel talking. Yet some heard it distinctly. They heard God say loud, I have glorified it and I will glorify it again. You understand? which means that the difference is in the kind of ears the people had. That was what decided what they heard. Now, let me tell you one or two stories. You will understand what I'm saying. Once I was in university, and I went to university to do a program.